Yeah, we're just talking about, you know, this is a review for us in a lot of ways. But as you were saying, Diana, this is what's basic and foundational, because he already did it. It's already fully ours. Our inheritance is already a completed thing in him, but we must battle to enter into what is already ours in Christ. Mm-hmm. It's like in the when God gave the land of Canaan, the promised land, to his people, he says, I've given it to you. Mm-hmm. Now you go in and possess it. There's no conflict there. Wherever you put down your feet, that's your soles of your feet, Joshua 1, that's yours. What if you don't put your foot down on that over there? It's not yours. I've already given it to you. Yeah. I already gave it to you, but you're only gonna get what I gave you unless you possess it. And that possession involves conflict. It involves warfare. And see, we don't like that. We want to change God's mind and come up with a different plan, but He just won't change. He won't change. And as we go along with Him, I think we just say, okay, since I'm not going to change you in this situation, I'm willing, Lord, by Your grace, for You to change me. Yeah. Any other thoughts?
Just kind of what you shared even on Wednesday. I mean, I so appreciate this because, it's like every time I hear, it's like, okay, there's a little more faith, a little more like, yeah, that's right, that's what You're doing, Lord. And I think, you know, going back and forth with, especially thinking of those still working in the DID process, so focused on it's a counseling issue. We've got to, I mean, that was my mentality. If I just get to this stronghold, then I can be integrated. Well, that's so working in the realm of the soul. And, you know,
programming is all in the soul.
It is, right. And until God has that revelation on the person, any one of us, either whether DID or not, to teach us how to live out of that source of the Spirit. And I know when the Lord got a hold of me that time, and He showed me Deuteronomy 30, of just returning to the Lord, obeying Him with all my heart, soul, and with all my heart. Well, that's the Spirit. That's the first, and soul. And so then the Lord does that. He restores me from captivity. And I thought, whoa, I have so had this so backwards. So I must, Lord, I must learn to live out of the Spirit. And then, man, it was like clockwork. It was like He showed me the bonds with the Son. They broke immediately. I mean, we worked for 10 years around those stinking bonds with the Son. And after He showed me, then it was like by His might and by His Spirit, by His power. And then things just began to break. Because I'm working in that context. I didn't even know who my father was at that point. Didn't even know half the things that we even knew now.
On the cult side.
Yeah, on the cult side. But the Lord just absolutely led me, and I didn't even know, to learn what does it mean now to live out of the source of His strength and to look at Him. I was so scared to death of you because you're going to throw me out of the church or quit counseling me, you know. I mean, that becomes such a stronghold then and such a threat. And I see that even with people now, of like, oh, you're going to quit counseling with me. Well, then if you know, Doug's your God, then you better fear, because you're going to be counseling the rest of your life. And so it really, truly is very much an issue of what you've been talking about. What does it mean to change our man, to live out of that source? And that's really the beginning, I think, of undoing even the DID stuff. At least it was with me. And I see that even with the younger ladies that have come, too. You know, I would say, well, have you forgot your center? She's like, oh, yeah. I forgot my center. Okay. Living again in the soul. And so it's like, all right, okay. And then as soon as you get reoriented, yeah, that's right, I forgot my center. Who am I in Christ? Then boom, peace would come in. It's like, okay, I see what You're dealing with now, Lord. I see where You touch. And then there's that empowerment and praying and breaking that off. So it really does make a big difference of living out from the source of the soul and trying to undo even things of Satan. Are extremely frustrated, you can't undo it. Or are we living out from the source of the Spirit? Undo it.
Yeah. Yes.
I've really been appreciating what you call the foundation, foundational simplicity, you know, and so forth, because I wasn't here in the early years of foundational teaching with y'all. And sometimes after I came here, it was like I felt like I got thrown into a deep lake. I mean, I didn't even have, there'd be words you'd be using, you know, like just that everybody else seemed to understand that I didn't even have a frame of reference for. So for me, I've been appreciating going back to the simplicity. But one thing you said today that really encouraged me was like the process that God takes us through and how he spoke the word and things came into being. But when he's working with a man, he's working with humanity. He's working with a person. And he goes to great lengths. And he will take many, many years. And he will just keep plowing away and working. And I'm ever so grateful. I really am. I'm thankful that he didn't give up on me when I kind of gave up on myself sometimes or felt like others.
And you want to give up on him too.
Yes, yes. And yet he just consistently has worked and worked and worked. And he still is. I mean, it's much more, I'd say, at the level now that we work when we get to this point, it's pretty, you know, when he reveals something, it's like very deep into the very innermost part of your being. And I think whether you're DID or not, that's true. I mean, it's like those deeply hidden, like subtle little things, nuances of stuff, an attitude or a belief, just a lot of different things. So I really have been appreciating the teaching and the word, and just also that God is so faithful that, but all he asks for is our cooperation. And so I don't always know when I'm not cooperating, you know, but I just glad, I mean, I was thinking about how when you have a child, you know, you do the child training and what's cute when they're like 2 years old, when they do certain things, is kind of cute. Man, it's not cute when they're 10 years old, you know. And then, you know, there's, because you mentioned that, how God tolerates certain things. And I do believe that there's varying degrees of growth in people, and what God will allow for a sister of mine over here, he may not allow for me right now because I'm at a different place. And so then that's too where I have to line myself up with the Lord in regards to another person, and to come instead of being judgmental or critical or anything like that, to take on the mind of Christ towards another brother and sister, how God worked that out in me and was gracious with me and others were gracious with me. Now to, and that's not, I'm not talking about tolerating sin, but just, you know, to see how God has people at various areas of growth. And then I think sparks in that one I'm reading by my spirit is that we be really, really careful not to judge another brother and sister for where they're at, and to be really in travail and just help carry them through. So
okay, just verse comes to mind. I'll just share it with you, and I'll just leave it. Because God is always speaking to me through his word, more that in circumstances. But there's just a statement that is made in Jeremiah that comes to mind. As soon as I find it here, I'll read it to you and notice something of how God deals with us. Yeah, it's in Jeremiah 48. God is speaking to Moab. And because they're obviously pagan, they're not under the government of God in any way. We notice how complacency sets in as pagan cultures go on their own way and on the road to eternal death. So Moab, which is, you know, an enemy of the children of Israel, has been at ease since his youth. Okay, so if we've been at ease,
Verse
11, yes, Jeremiah 48:11. If we're at ease with anything that represents that which is not a part of God's discipline, Hebrews chapter 12, and the way he is working in us to bring many sons to glory, well then this is completely opposite as characterized by this pagan culture. So Moab has been at ease since his youth, and has also been undisturbed on his lees. So what that means is that when wine is being fermented and the lees, that is the dregs at the bottom, you just drink down, you drink down. Next thing you're into the dregs, which is really terrible. But the only way you can keep that pure and that which is drinkable is by, you know, emptying from vessel to vessel so that you separate out that which is good quality to drink from that which is the sediment at the bottom. So there's a process. Now, he's been at ease. He has been undisturbed on his lees. So if God's going to break us from complacency and transition us from Adam to Christ, that is, from the vessel of the old humanity to the vessel of the new humanity, we're going to get disturbed. We're going to get poked. We're going to be in circumstances that represents anything that we have been habituated on the ground of the old humanity. So Moab has been undisturbed on his lees, neither has he been emptied. Whoa! Now who jumps up and down over that? Who wants to be emptied? You see? But this is it. Neither has he been emptied from vessel to vessel. So the process of coming out of Adam into Christ, there's the vessel of what we are in Adam to the vessel of who we are as a new creation in Christ. So we're emptied from vessel to vessel, from the old wineskin to the new wineskin, to the old wine to the new wine. You see? And this is the growth. This is God's strategy. So they have not. They have not been emptied from vessel to vessel, nor has he gone into exile. Therefore, he returns to his flavor, and his aroma has not changed. I'm sorry. He retains his flavor, and his aroma has not changed. See? That's really tragic. So how many Christians still smell the same? They still have that old Adamic effusion of what we are by nature rather than, as we see in 2 Corinthians, more and more a fragrance of Christ. Mm-hmm. See? Clinging to the old ways. The old is good enough. Jesus in his illustration in Luke. In Luke chapter 6, verse 33 through 39, we're all familiar with it, the illustration from coming from the old covenant to the new covenant, from coming under the law to coming under the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, the old vessel of Judaism to the new vessel of the new humanity, the church, all that which represents the contrast between the old and the new. In verse 37, no one puts new wine, this new life of God that's going to comes in resurrection at Pentecost through the Holy Spirit. The resurrected Christ comes in and brings new life. He doesn't put that in the old wineskins of Judaism or the old humanity. This is in Luke chapter 5. Sorry about that. I said 6. Mm-hmm. It's Luke chapter 5, verse 37. So he puts it, God makes it very clear. No one puts this new life into old wineskins. It doesn't fit into Judaism. It doesn't fit into the old humanity and the old covenant. Otherwise, the new wine will burst the skins. In the book of Acts, you see wherever that new life goes, it's bursting the skins of Judaism, of legalism. It's still happening. It will be spilled out and the skins will be ruined. But new wine must be put into fresh Kainos, new creation wineskins. This is the new man. But here it is. Looking at what we just saw in Jeremiah. And no one after drinking old wine wishes for the new. If you're just habituated in the old, this is good enough for me. I've got my salvation. I've got heaven is sure. I can just go live the rest of my life. I don't need to have that increase. I don't need to be to go from vessel to vessel. You just settle down and become a Laodicean. But notice, no one after drinking old wine wishes for the new. For he says, The old is good enough. So that would be characterized like the Moabites, you see. The old is good enough. So we just thank the Lord that the Lord doesn't allow us to settle down. If he's disturbing us a little bit, then that's grace. And so, okay, Lord, what's this about? I want to move up higher. I want to be more like the second man. Amen? Thank you, Lord.